The results are in. We took a poll on where your head is at number 2 overall. Who do you want to take? We'll reveal those results and go to the Sicko Satchel today on Locked On Hornets.
You are Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free and available anywhere you get your pods. That does include YouTube, by the way. This episode is brought to you by Game Time. You can download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Locked On NBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. As always, that's Doug Branson. Catch his Substack, Every Hornets Box Score, on his website, everyhornetsboxscore.com. Catch me on WFNZ from 12 to 3 every weekday. And that is the samurai of Stock X, David Walker, pop it on, making the weekly appearance. You can find him on Twitter at Shoot, S-H-O-E-2-T. I mean, Shoot Henderson, of course, hoping that we draft Scoot. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great, guys. We are on to the finals, but more importantly, we are on to day, 1 billion of draft talk and speculation. So let's do it.
It's funny because there are so many times. It still doesn't feel as long as other years because I know it's crazy, right? It's the whole Scooter Brandon Miller talk. We've had that conversation for so long, but maybe more people in the pot makes it feel longer to me. Like, do you get that feeling, Doug? Do you feel like we've just been doing this over and over and over again compared to other years? I don't find it any worse for some reason.
No, I think we would have been talking a lot of silly stuff already had it been other years, because you do have two very compelling prospects in Scoot Henderson and Brandon Miller, very different players. So there is a lot to talk about in terms of their strengths and weaknesses, in terms of the implications that they would have on the starting lineup, on the rotation. I mean, it's just, it's a ton to talk about. We are talking about the two players over and over again, but, they're exciting players.
We are indeed. No, it's just funny to see where people fall on that. And so we put out a poll, right? You can go to the Locked On Hornets YouTube page, the community page with inside our channel. And we put out the poll of where's your head right now? Where's your head? It was 4 weeks leading up to the draft. And we put that poll out about 4 days ago. And so, Doug, we got 900 votes on this thing. Lots of people rolling in. You know, usually people will update the Twitter polls and there's like 57 people who voted. And it's like, well, an overwhelming majority, they want this one. And it's really just your family members and your P1 listeners. That was it. But no, we got 900 votes here. Okay. And you asked 4 weeks to go until the NBA draft. Where's your head right now? 76% of 900 votes, 76% are riding the Scoot wagon. They all want Scoot Henderson.
Wow.
So they have been a fan of our propaganda for Scoot Henderson, Doug. It has been working. 17% vote that they want Brandon Miller, and 7%, only 7, want to trade the pick. David, how surprised are you at those results, having Scoot Henderson with a lot of people who contributed, an overwhelming majority wanting Scoot?
Yeah, I mean, not too surprised, just based on, I guess, like my Twitter feed and the conversations we see in the Hornets Twitter sphere. I guess you could be surprised because there's not a single mock draft that has Scoot now going to Charlotte anymore. Like, there, I mean, it's insane because we haven't, guys, it's been, a week or so, week and a half, whatever. But we've had one comment from Mitch, and it's the Nick Carboni grab. It's, it's one thing that everyone has just absolutely taken off with. Mm-hmm. It's been spun, I think, backwards and forwards at this point. And, you could really do whatever you want to with that quote, because as you guys talked about, he basically answered it two ways. But it's the latter that always gets quoted around the Brandon Miller fit. So I'm not surprised that people still want Scoot. I'm just waiting for the wave to go back the other way on the mock drafts and the takes at number 2 there, because it's been all Brandon Miller so far.
What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, well, I agree with David. It has been all Brandon Miller. I think I think two things. I think Scoot's team's got to get out there a little bit more aggressively with the number 2 smoke. And also, I think the Hornets would be obliged to also muck this up a little bit, because I don't think it benefits the Hornets in terms of any kind of trade value if everyone – else believes 100% that they're going to take one player or the other. So I think there should be some mysteries. I wouldn't be surprised if in the weeks leading up to this, we get a little bit, and not any of this, like, I don't know if you saw this, like, Sam Amico thing where I tweeted it out. So go to Twitter at Doug Branson LOH if you want to see the link. But, like, it's one of these perfect, it's a perfect draft article in that it has a rumor headline, rumor that the Hornets are looking at Scoot, but there's no sourcing. There's no rumor even. It's just the rumor is the headline. Just starting a rumor. Sam Amico, perfect. You know, you nailed that perfect draft article.
Oh, anyway, I've got something good for you too, by the way. My producer, Fitty at WFNZ, decided, you know what? I'm going to go after him. And we got him, Doug. We got Sam Amico on the show. I think either today or tomorrow. I need to check the calendar.
Oh,
yes. We have him on this week. We have him on this week, which we got to confirm with him. But it's like, it's funny because my producer told me, he's like, yeah, man, you want me to go after Sam Amico? Doing a good producer thing, seeing somebody write about the Hornets, and I'm going to try to go after him and see if they want to hop on the show. But then you read it and it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to be like, I'm going to ask him, hey man, what made you go that strong with Scoot going to the Hornets? ? Right? Like, what's going on?
And then,
like,
and then if he comes up with a legitimate reason, the follow-up question has to be, why didn't you write that down? Yeah. Like, why not reveal that you have any? I mean, like, it's one thing to write an article and say, my sources tell me. That's vague and you know, hard to argue with or for or against. But, like, there was nothing in the article. It was truly amazing. Anyway,
well,
I don't want to get
it is quintessential aggregation. That's the aggregation that makes people create podcasts called Please Don't Aggregate This. That's
right.
The one.
Okay. So I don't want to get too sidetracked here. Let's talk about these poll results. 76% at 900 votes. I mean, that is a good enough sample size for a presidential poll. It's good enough for us here. And this was a scientific poll. Let me tell you, I didn't fool around with the answers. I went alphabetical order. I went Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson, or trade the pick. I'm surprised more people didn't want to trade the pick because people love trades. People love, you know, mixing it up when it comes to the NBA draft. But Scoot Henderson, overwhelming. And that's surprising because we've gotten a lot of loud Brandon Miller fans in the comments. But there are many people out there that look at Scoot's tape and are just like, don't understand how he could not be the pick because of the athleticism, because of the intensity in which he plays. And I think the quotes that are coming out from him are pretty revealing on what kind of player he's going to be. He's going to be the kind of player that you can depend on to lead your team. And I think that's one of the differentiators from Scoot Henderson to Brandon Miller, is that Scoot's going to come in and lead this team. And I know a lot of people out there are probably Brandon Miller fans in this draft, maybe because they are LaMelo fans and they believe, like, on some level that if you bring someone like Scoot Henderson in, it's going to chase away LaMelo. I would say, I think it might be a relief to LaMelo not to have to be, you know, sort of a vocal type leader. That hasn't been my read on who LaMelo is. And maybe he will become that, but that's not my read on who he is. And I think it could be a relief for him. But this is truly a surprise. I thought it was going to be, I thought Scoot was going to win the poll, but I did not think it was going to be this overwhelming. And final thought, I think that seeing all of the mock drafts go Brandon Miller's way, as David pointed out, I think that's pushing this poll a little bit, because I think people look at that and they go, well, number one, I don't trust that. And number two, I don't trust this organization. So if they truly are looking at Brandon, I kind of want it to be Scoot.
What do you think about that, David? Plus the whole, I think Doug also does bring up the fans, and they're affected by Scoot Henderson coming in and playing so close to a position that LaMelo plays, that you might be pushing LaMelo out as dog number one or something. I completely agree with you, Doug. Do you agree, David?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the reason I like Scoot here, to be honest. I think he could bring something else out of LaMelo too, you know, along with the other guys in the locker room. You just hear these guys, the scouts, talk about Scoot specifically, and it's a different level of belief. You know, when I hear these guys talk about either Miller or Scoot, it's not like anyone's saying bad stuff about Miller, certainly not on the court, but when they talk about Scoot, it's been with more passion and just more belief that this guy can go to another level and he's just a tier above. But I think some people are maybe getting nervous or cautious with all these mock drafts, right? And so much Brandon Miller momentum. And again, we always have to remind folks around this time of year, around the draft times, you know, the Hornets, for better or for worse, don't leak a lot of stuff. And it's I think they're one of the more difficult teams to probably predict. Last year may have been somewhat of an anomaly just because of the super fit and the landing place of Mark Williams. But, like, I don't know that the Hornets are tipping their hand at all at this point.
Okay, I do have a little bit of intel here. Unlike Sam Amico, I do have a little intel here if you want it, if you're interested.
Yes, for sure. What you got, Doug? Okay. What are your sources telling you?
Okay, this is from I don't have secret sources. I've got Twitter, and this is James Hamm, who is a Kings insider for ESPN 1320, okay? And he writes for thekingsbeat.com. This guy's a legitimate person within the NBA, okay? James Hamm is tweeting, "Continue to hear rumors that the San Antonio Spurs and Charlotte Hornets are being added to the California Classic in Sacramento in early July." That's summer league talk. Yeah. "Nothing confirmed yet, but could get interesting with Spurs and Hornets owning picks number one and number two. Now, if you're the NBA, why would you add those two teams if you didn't feel like both were going to make the pick?" I think that's number one. So that's a little intel away from them trading the pick. Number two, we know that the NBA has already been interested in marketing two players going 1v1 with each other, and it's not Wimby and Brandon Miller. It's Wimby and it's Scoot. I think this California Classic could be the precursor to a future Christmas Day game between Wimby and Scoot. God.
I freaking love this, Doug. This is amazing. This is next level thought right here. You're so right. What's the one clip we always see of Scoot right now? It's crossing over Wimby and hitting that 1-3. That's what we're going to see played over and over and over.
Get out of here.
All right. The conspiracy theories are often running. We are speculating at an all-time high right now.
Scoot can't shoot like Nick Richards can't Scoot. I got my eyes on both Scoot and Nick Richards. They're both hiding that little three-point shot under a bushel.
Nick Richards can Scoot, and we think he can shoot as well. We think he can do both, and we're hoping Scoot can shoot and Scoot all the, you know, boots to go with it. All right, let's go and continue to talk about the number two pick coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
All right, we will rummage through the sicko satchel, but there is something that came out from Sam Vecenie that told you you're getting something wrong about Scoot Henderson. Yes, you, person watching this channel. We'll get to that in just a moment, but not before we bring up Prize Picks. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, and you can pick 2 to 6 players if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection on their fantasy sports app or website. You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available, and they offer projections on really any sport you watch, not only the NBA, the NFL, or the MLB, but the WNBA, that's in full force right now. College football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, the PGA, which we just saw another major over and done with, disc golf. There's so many sports. Just go check it out on prizepicks.com. Download the Prize Picks app too, or go to their website to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. More Locked On Hornets coming up next.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Adam Silver had Ahmad Rashad up on stage, and he used his phone to like body scan Ahmad Rashad, and then they like inserted a digital version of Ahmad Rashad into the highlight. And wow. So I'm looking at this and going, just fix my league pass. I don't want to be in a highlight. I would just like to actually watch the highlight without my application logging me out, freezing, dropping all of the time. Fix my league pass before you insert me in the game, please and thank you.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Doug, you mocked the whole Scoot can't shoot moniker, right? That whole evaluation of him, you mocked it. We even put out a tweet with him. It was just the one clip of him shooting on Wimby, right? Where you put that little video clip out on our YouTube page.
Just shooting on Wimby. You're underselling it. I mean, he hit like a beautiful Harden-esque step back and got it up over top. The guy who's 7 feet 2 inches with an 8 foot wingspan, like that's not nothing.
And Sam, he growled at him after that, which is my favorite part. He let him know about it.
What I didn't clip was the very first shot from that game. He hits the very first shot of the game. It's a mid-range jumper, and he screams loudly. Also, in that same game, I've been watching a lot of tape, folks. That same game, the announcers relayed a story about how Scoot Henderson, I guess his like family owns a gym, maybe, and Scoot like would clear out the gym. And he said he would shoot by himself, but he would pretend like he was playing against other players and like scream at these imaginary players. I'm telling you, this guy's nuts, but he's nuts in the exact way that you want a player to be nuts.
All right. So let's go to the thread from Sam Vecenie I was mentioning in the previous episode or a previous segment, I should say. Here's Sam putting out some reasons as to why maybe he can shoot a little bit better than what people are giving him credit for. Sam Vecenie said, a public service announcement because I've seen it wrong in more than a few places. Scoot Henderson did not shoot 27% from three this season. He shot 32.4% from three. So not much better, but better than 27. You're at least getting into the 30s, which I don't think is small. The 27% mark is from the regular season and does not include showcase cup games, which also occur in season. Would also take note of Scoot's shooting numbers pre and post the ankle injury he suffered on January 17th. Before, he shot 35%, went 14 of 40 from the three-point line. After the injury, he shot 8 of 28. That is actually 28% from the three-point line. Between 8 and 20 feet, the mid-range game, before the ankle injury, he shot 40% on 115 attempts. He shot 48 attempts after the injury, and he shot 33% is what that equals out to. Of course, this is all super small sample. I'll read one other thing. He said, wants to be clear, just trying to provide an accurate and context-filled description of Scoot shooting. Think it's totally reasonable to not believe in his jumper. Just noting that saying he shot 27% from three this year is actually wrong. So, yeah, you go to 32%. That's not stopping people from saying he can't shoot. You
it's
go
an
to
NBA 35- three, though. It's not a college three. It's an NBA. He's shooting NBA threes.
Right.
Yeah, and which he's going to be shooting at the NBA level. So hopefully that continue to go up, right? Like,
That's a good point, actually.
Well, I mean, yeah, just right. Like, so he's not been shooting well here, but I do think that you add those 5 percentage points, you can scoff at it all you want to, but it's actually a decent difference shooting 32 and 33 if we just include every single game that he played. So, yeah, I think that was something pretty significant. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, also, he's been a pro for 2 years. I mean, maybe even call it 1.5, but he's 19 years old. Like, he can get better. His shooting can improve. He still has room to grow. This whole can't shoot thing, I mean, it really does remind me of the Donovan Mitchell draft. It wasn't that bad, but you guys hit on it last week. There was legitimate concerns that he was just going to be a defensive guy, a short guy who maybe couldn't shoot that well. And so the same thing, how about LaMelo? I mean,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, so really, it's not Donovan, it's LaMelo all over again.
Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate Vecenie because I think it's really tricky right now for anyone to evaluate these guys that aren't going the traditional path. Like, we're so used to watching college games. We're so used to seeing how normal, you know, college season goes and a guy comes up through those ranks. But this new G League stuff, no one understands it, dude. I didn't know that they only shot one free throw until Vecenie said it on the pod with you guys last week. So, like, that's a whole different level of just understanding where these guys are coming from. So I'm appreciative of him for pointing those things out.
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference. Go ahead, Doug. You had one other thought.
Well, you threw
on
a lot at us there, Walker, with those tweets. But the one thing that I took away from it was that Scoot's already gotten his ankle injury out of the way, right? I mean, he's going to fit right in with this roster. I mean, if it's like it's just a badge of honor on this roster. You got to get your ankle injury before you really get respect. So he's already got that.
He does indeed. Hopefully we don't have to have Scoot in the boot. We can just have Scoot and the boot like Rod was talking about in the last episode. Let's get to this one question. Maybe one of us answers it and then the rest of us can answer it in the next segment. But I did want to get to a sicko satchel question. Doug, do you have the intro ready?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I didn't. But I can if you'll just give me a second.
Come on, you shameful little sicko.
I was going to set you up, but that's fine.
I don't need your setup.
All right, we're off and firing. There is the Sicko Satchel. We got a question from EA15 on YouTube. They ask, what are your realistic expectations for the offseason? I've seen a lot of trade rumors and roster rebuilds that don't look feasible, in my opinion. So it's interesting to hear your thoughts. The hope of having a good offseason is what makes me a sicko. So the projections, the realistic expectations, Doug, we'll start with you. What would you say is realistic to expect from this team?
Nothing. I don't mean that facetiously. I don't mean that, snarkily. I mean, I think the expectation has to be that they have the assets in hand, that they're going, they have the cards that they're going to play already in their hand. They've got Miles Bridges. You know, it seems like they're going to bring him back.
So we can expect Miles Bridges, right? Like,
yeah.
That's,
yeah. But, right. But it, what I'm saying is what to expect is the information that you already pretty much know in your heart. So they're going, you know, they're probably going to make this second overall selection. They're probably not going to make all five of these draft picks that they have right now. There's probably going to be some kind of trade, but I wouldn't expect it at the two spot. This team just does not operate in the same way that classic Hornets teams did, where they did make blockbuster type trades. They weren't afraid to blow teams up, and they weren't afraid to go after it. This team is, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but they are a little bit afraid to go after it. I would love to see them get, you know, go, hey, we got the number two pick. We've got a few advantages here. Let's really go after this thing and aggressively change this roster. I think it's fear, and I think it's a lack of belief that they actually can accomplish it. One other thing I would say is I would expect that this, you know, this is the team that's going to be making the decision. You know, it's going to be MJ. It's going to be Mitch Kupchak. We're not going to see some like quick sale of the team and another group come in and take all these decisions this offseason. I think this, and I don't just mean the draft. I mean, this complete offseason, I think, is going to be helmed by the folks that you know and maybe love.
David, you want to finish this up before we move on?
Yeah, and I'm with Doug on that one. I mean, if you think about it, this really was a gap year, right? And they've been holding on to these cards for two off seasons now. You know, some of that stuff was out of their control, but Miles was the move. It's still going to be the move this year, probably, and not much else on the free agency front or like big shakeups trade wise. But they're counting on that two pick, maybe the 27 pick, and Miles, and maybe a piece or two there. But I think those are going to be the big moves.
I hope they don't trade the pick, and I'll tell you why in the next segment if you're interested.
Okay. All right. I hope you're interested because you're getting it no matter what. Coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
I'll give you some of my realistic expectations, and then Doug will reveal what he thinks the team should do with 27. We also got to assess the Eastern Conference playoffs. We got to see the Miami Heat move on to the NBA Finals. They'll be playing the Denver Nuggets. We'll get to all of that in the last segment of Locked On Hornets.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Walker, sometimes you don't have to have the best package. Okay. Sometimes you just have to have the only package. If you wait, or this is if my dating life taught me anything, sometimes you just have to wait around long enough until you're the only thing remaining. And then suddenly you look pretty great in comparison.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
All right, I wanted to finish up with some of my realistic expectations here, asked by EA15 on YouTube, putting that question in the Sicko Satchel. So if we just went down the roster real quickly with some of the wild cards, with some of the guys that we just aren't sure what's going to happen, I do expect Miles Bridges to be back just like everybody, but maybe some harder decisions like a Kelly Oubre. Is he going to be on the roster? I don't know where you guys fall on this. I don't think so, but I don't think a lot of people have talked about that. I do think there is something to be gained there from saying that I don't expect him to be on the roster, because if you expect PJ to be on the roster, which I do, that one is a little bit more dicey, right? Like, that's just, I don't feel 100% comfortable either way on that. But if you bring back PJ, you're talking about an increase from him basically making $6 million this last year. And then we're thinking about him making what, 18, 17, close to 20, whatever, right? So that's a lot of money. The obvious way to cut ties there to make room for him is Kelly Oubre. If you are not going to be able to seek a trade partner for Terry Rozier or Gordon Hayward this offseason, that's going to be more deadline stuff. So I do expect Kelly Oubre to be off the roster. Plus, the other thing is, number two comes with a higher contract than all the other draft picks. So now you're talking about paying Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, whoever. Now you're going to have to be cutting costs a little bit more, which might not only leave Kelly Oubre on the outs, But Dennis Smith Jr., Teo Maledon, especially with the positions, you have Cody Martin coming back. Even if you don't believe in him, you do have the contract that he agreed to there. So I would expect that contract at number two, right? Like, think about it. If they fall to number six or go to five, even four, whatever, maybe there's enough wiggle room. I haven't done enough of the research. Okay, they have exactly this much, right? But you are paying more money for the number two overall pick. I just think that decreases the odds that you bring back a Kelly Oubre, which is kind of a wild card here. So I don't know if you guys share those same thoughts before we can move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And maybe even 27, Doug, allow this to give us your 27th pick. Does that limit trading the 27th pick for a guy that might have a bigger salary, right? And you just go ahead and pay the rookie salary that might help you on the payroll.
Yeah, I mean, higher salary, higher minutes expectation for that number two overall pick, right? I mean, you're not going to be able to afford to play that. I don't think you can play that guy off the bench. So that means you've got to clear some roster. You know, you got to do some roster maneuvering. So if they go Brandon Miller, what does that mean for PJ Washington? What does that mean for Gordon Hayward? I mean, what do you do with those players at that point? Do you try to keep them and sell them on being depth pieces? Or do you move on in the case of PJ, or try to move on in the case of Gordon Hayward? But same with Terry Rozier if they go with Scoot. You know, how do you maneuver that? Because you're paying that guy starter money, and if you're going to sell him on six man, you know, how do you make all that work? I think that's where it gets all interesting. But you make the pick first, and you figure all that out later. I don't think, you know, trading the number two overall pick, I think it's going to be tough in this particular market because you've got a couple of teams under the Charlotte Hornets. Portland being the main one that I think are also looking to trade. So I think having multiple teams wanting to trade in that five or six range or seeing the value of doing that, I think is actually going to like suppress the market value of trading. So I think it's going to be tougher. Like if any team comes to the Hornets and has a package and the Hornets says, I want more, they'll go, well, Portland wants to trade. And I think we can get our player at three just as much as we can get it at two. So, you know, I think this would be a completely different situation if like the Hornets were surrounded by teams that were absolutely going to make the pick because they were, you know, they're just in disaster rebuild mode. That's not the case. You've got Portland there that could make a run at things. So it's a little bit of a difficult situation for the Hornets to be in. But in terms of 27, I think it does make it more difficult to make that pick because, you know, they are in somewhat of a win now mode. And they are also in a mode of trying not to hit the luxury tax, you know, so I think it makes it difficult to make that 27th pick.
So you don't think they'll make that 27th pick? Because I'm hoping they will just with the depth in this draft. But you know, I'm with you that historically, you know, that's when they try and ship out or maybe move back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there are some players that I think you would want to take a swing on. Koulibaly. The player from the French team that Wimby plays for, the Mets, you know, that's a guy I could see it if they could find a way to sort of draft and stash. But that's just generally not how this team has operated with the first round draft and stash. I mean, they had higher hopes. I mean, that ended up being what happened with Kai Jones in the G League. But I think they had higher hopes that he would get, you know, more acclimated quickly. But that generally this team trades back into the second round to make those kind of stash moves.
Did want to just let you know about the salary for the second overall pick. And so Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, whoever it is, they'll be making 8.2 the first year. It goes to 8.6 and then about 9 million in their third year. That is that's the first 3 year set for the contract there at number two. So let's just go to number five. They're making $6 million off the rip. And then, so it's about a $2.5 million difference. So not all that much, a little bit different there, but with PJ Washington getting paid, with Miles Bridges coming aboard, like this is going to be something where they might just be trying to pinch pennies as much as they possibly can. So
Alonzo Mourning famously held out almost held out for a significant amount of time for his first contract with the Charlotte Hornets. And that contract ended up being $2 million per year. That's what the Hornets were fighting with Alonzo Mourning over $2 million per year.
Which is now the difference between the second overall pick.
It's true, but the cap then was, $2 million versus that cap was pretty significant.
Right. All right. Let's get to the Eastern Conference Finals real quickly before we move on and end the show today. David, before we started recording, Doug said, I can't wait to gloat about a couple things that I was right about. Are you prepared for Doug real quickly before we send it back to him?
That's all I was thinking about last night during that beatdown. As the lead 100%. Grew, I could sense Doug's pride, you know, swelling
texting us probably didn't allow
that,
us to forget about
that tipped,
it.
That tipped his hand a little bit, sure.
Go ahead, Doug.
I'll let you guys decide where you want to start. Do you want to start with wrong twin or do you want to start with Jalen Clown?
Tell us where you want. I'm not playing this game. Okay. You decide where you want to go on your gloat float.
Well, I mean, Caleb Martin, you've got the announcers, you've got Stan Van Gundy, you've got Charles Barkley, you've got everyone on the set of Inside the NBA giving Caleb Martin the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals. I think
except for Reggie Miller. Yeah, they should have given it to him.
Well, Reggie Miller, get out of here. You know, come on. But yeah, they should have given it to Caleb Martin. I mean, he was incredible, especially in that game 7. But I mean, he was really, really good for that team the entire series, and he's been good for them in the playoffs. And I can't believe the Charlotte Hornets. You know, I think I've been used to seeing the Miami Heat find players out of nowhere, you know, G League, and going, how are they doing that? Mm-hmm. And the Charlotte Hornets can't do that. But I haven't been accustomed to, in a long time, the Miami Heat just stealing Charlotte Hornets players and making them valuable playoff pieces. That's something that, I mean, that's I remember from a long time ago, but it's suddenly making a comeback, and this is a reboot that I'm not particularly enjoying. But yeah, Caleb Martin, amazing. It does hurt. You know, Cody Martin didn't play this year. I think if Cody Martin had played and been a valuable bench piece for the Charlotte Hornets this season, then this wouldn't hurt so bad. But, you know, wrong twin.
But that's where you got to look at it. He is still the better twin. You know, that's another piece the Hornets can bring back this upcoming season even better. They got the better twin. He's just got to get healthy.
He's got to play like MJ at this point. I mean, you know, Caleb Martin is an Eastern – he didn't officially get it, but, I mean, he's – you know, folks are talking about him as the MVP of a series. And I think, look, you know, he continues to play like this in the finals, and the Miami Heat upset. And we've had crazier MVPs before of a finals. Caleb Martin, finals MVP. How would that make you feel?
I think it probably – no, but I do – I don't think we have had a crazier finals MVP than
that
Caleb
you're
Martin.
Right, you're right. That would be the craziest one.
Andre Iguodala was the craziest one we can go to.
Nonsense.
That's the one. And so if Caleb wins, and that would become the newest one. All right, so you're talking about the wrong twin and Caleb Martin. You want to go to Jalen Clown, as you've dubbed him, the Devin Snooker of 2023?
Oh, my God. I mean, boy, you know, what bothers me is that people really think that the Hornets should trade the number 2 overall selection for Jaylen Brown. And I think the people that think that it's a no, like, yeah, it's obvious. But anytime this guy goes left, he turns a basketball over. He can't dribble. And I mean, and his shooting comes and goes. And it went. And I mean, they needed him more than ever in that game 7. And it was just clank, 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 clank. All he could hit were these wide open transition opportunities. I mean, get out of here. I don't know. Jaylen Brown, no way. I think this number 2 overall selection, honestly, you know, I know, look, we've been pretty adamant that we think Scoot should be the pick. But I also think that Brandon Miller has the opportunity to be a special player in the league. I think either way they go, they've got a shot at a player that has the potential to be way more than Jaylen Brown could be. So I don't want to make that. I don't want to make that trade.
Go ahead, David. What are you thinking?
This new Jaylen Brown hate is fascinating, but I love it. I mean, I love this angle from Doug, of course, as always. Right. I'm a big Jaylen Brown fan. I think at number 2, I'd have to really think about that, Walker. If they came out and said, we'll give you Jaylen Brown for the number 2 pick, I think that's something they might do, actually.
This is the thing, right? Like, we have to stop the snowball from becoming to being a force that is unstoppable, right? Because what happens here is we have the Chicago Bulls conversation, and Doug is saying, I'm not going to trade number 2, but he's pleading with everyone to keep an open mind to trade for Zach LaVine.
DeMar DeRozan.
Go ahead, Doug.
That's
what were you
multiple. Yeah, I mean, you throw Jaylen Brown and, you know, another star-level player, sure.
Okay, but this all stemmed from him – pleading with us to keep an open mind, that we shouldn't just shut the door on the possibility of trading a DeMar DeRozan and getting also in return Zach LaVine. But he didn't want to do it. But now, and I was like, well, Jaylen Brown is somebody else that I don't want to do it. But then he's like, oh, get right out of here, Jaylen Brown, completely shutting the door. This is the Doug Branson special. This is what it is. And then Jaylen Clown showed up, and you're right, was not good. Was not good.
Yeah. No one here is throwing any facts my way to disprove my point here. That's all I'm saying.
Well, as an all NBA player, that would be okay to have on the roster. I think that's debatable. Nice, but you know,
yeah, it's a voting award. It's not, you know, the voters got it wrong.
It's a popularity contest. How many rings does he have?
Yeah, zero is what he has. All right, that'll do it for Locked On Hornets. That is the Samurai of StockX, the one and only David Walker that you can find on Twitter at David B. Walker. That's Doug Branson. Check out his work on his Substack, everyhornetsboxscore.com, and listen to me on WFNZ every weekday from 12 to 3 p.m. We appreciate your support, making us your first listen daily, as always. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back with you tomorrow.